You may have caught the news that last Saturday, the man who's been called the father of the global permaculture movement, Bill Mollison, died. Here's a grab from a 1983 conversation that he had about the Australian environment with Margaret Throsby.
See, I wonder, my only wonder is, and I'm basically a pessimist acting like an optimist, do people really want to live healthily and cooperatively? I wonder, do they want to? Or is there something dark in our character that says, no, I want to go down the drain in acid and misery, you know, with idiot children?
I think there's the other side of our character which says, I don't want that, but I think I'll close my eyes.
That, unfortunately, is exactly what we have at the top in investment, in industry, in politics, everywhere else. I don't want even to try to talk about the really difficult problems. It might cost me votes, it might cost me investors. But I think we have skilled bankers, skilled investment brokers, we possibly even have skilled politicians. And if they made a personal decision for life, for the life of the world, the health of the world, then it wouldn't, I think we could do it in 3 years. And bankers are starting to join me at least.
What an extraordinary combination of kind of optimism and vision on the one hand and a kind of motivating anger on the other. With me to find out more now about Mollison the man and the nature of his global legacy is David Holmgren. David's co-originator of the permaculture concept and author and teacher of permaculture. David, thanks for joining us.
It's very good to be with you.
So you've written about that kind of 2 years student-mentor relationship you had with Bill from kind of late 1974, and you've described it as the defining relationship that set the course for the rest of your life. What? Why? How so?
Well, I was a student in a course called Environmental Design in Tasmania that I regard as the most, possibly the most radical experiment in tertiary education in Australia's history. And I was immersed in this sort of circle of architects, landscape architects, planners, all grappling with what we would call sustainability issues today. And I was still searching around for people who met my definition of what I thought an ecologist should be, because I was looking for the science but that was holistic rather than reductionist. And by chance, I met Bill Mollison at a seminar in environmental design, but I didn't know that actually he was a senior tutor in the psychology faculty of the other tertiary institution in Hobart. And, you know, through that chance meeting, I sort of recognised that he had the thinking that I was looking for. And then in sharing house with him, we developed the ideas together, and the freedom of environmental design allowed me to concentrate 100% of my effort on that project, which led to the manuscript, which became later published as Permaculture One in 1978.
I had a friend who studied permaculture, and when she explained it to me, the stuff that I took away and understood were about kind of rainwater management and controlling pests without chemicals. But what you and Bill, what Bill's talking about in that grab, in fact, is sustainability on a much larger scale, a kind of political and financial impact. Explain to us exactly what permaculture is, the movement that he spearheaded.
Well, it really is a design system for both sustainable land use, agriculture, gardening, how we provide our needs from a working relationship with nature, and about sustainable living, the consumption side of the equation. So between those two, it sort of really covers everything. But it starts with the basics of, well, we're animals, we need food, water, you know, shelter, all of those basic things, and then moves from that on to the more complex, elaborated things that are obviously the main focus in a complex industrial society like ours, where food is tends to be taken for granted.
The description I heard was the idea that it's working with rather than against nature. Is that right?
Yes, that's very much the way of looking at the principles of the in the design of natural ecosystems. And of course, Mollison came from that background in wildlife research after he had been a sort of a hunter and a trapper and, you know, a bushman, and then into wildlife research. So he was deeply embedded in the natural world, and that reference to the natural world and the way natural systems work as the way we should design our systems. And that starts, of course, with those working relationships with nature, how you garden, how you farm, but it then goes over into all those other areas that you have to work with nature, because she has the upper hand in the long term anyway.
I mean, how much of it is about pre-industrial approach to agriculture?
Well, the learning from indigenous and traditional peoples and cultures of place was the other great source for permaculture, not in a romantic sense of wanting to go back to the past, but recognising that before fossil fuels, when we started living on stocks of energy rather than natural flows of energy, societies had to regulate themselves within those available limits. And so they had societies that didn't actually have perpetual economic growth. So a lot of the design principles that we need for future sustainability can actually be understood by studying more traditional old ways. And at the most simple level, you know, when you explain permaculture over the years to sort of older, often rural, self-reliant people, they say, isn't that just common sense? Look, and I say, yeah, well, a lot of it is, but it's no longer common. So, you know, Mollison was very much embedded in that common sense world of rural self-reliance, but of course he spanned across into the world of ecology and research, you know, and that was all before I met him in the 70s.
And I mean, one of the crucial things about it was that it could equally be applied to, say, backyards as it would to broadacre farming.
Yes, well, you know, a lot of the response from the agricultural establishment to this primary focus on the redesign of agriculture was more of derision than anything else. You know, it was sort of like, oh, here's an even more extreme form of the muck and mystery of organics, as organics was seen at that time. But there was a huge upwelling of interest then, as there is now, in sort of household and community self-reliance, you know, growing vegetables, having chooks in the backyard. And permaculture tapped into that sort of household gardening scale, self-reliance scale, while commercial agriculture was heading more down the industrialised, you know, sort of globalised path.
David, let's hear a little bit more of Bill talking about just that idea.
It's going to have drought and floods, and we've never developed a system to cope with it, except that we know systems that will cope with it. And you can say things which sound absolutely revolutionary and true. That is, if we had never developed the culture of hoofed animals on dry areas but restricted them to humid lowlands, we would have none of that. And if we had developed instead what the Aborigines had already developed, which was strains of kangaroo of high meat production, we get a non-saturated fat meat at 58% protein and no erosion, instead of saturated fats, heart attacks and total erosion, and a 35% assimilable protein. That is, we get double the amount. And people say, don't kill the kangaroo. What I say is, for God's sake, kill every sheep and cow and let us return to eating a healthy food that we can produce in abundance and it will sustain us indefinitely.
We're crazy, aren't we?
We really are absolutely bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers indeed. That's the voice of Bill Mollison, the father of permaculture, which has been called Tasmania's greatest intellectual export. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN, and I'm talking with David Holmgren, who was Mollison's friend and colleague, co-originator of the permaculture concept. David, tell us a little bit about what Bill was like as a man.
Well, that was an extraordinary grab from Bill, from classic Bill, and it was that big picture understanding, grasp of the facts, but actually quite a willingness to embellish or polish the facts, and a challenging idea thrown out to people to confront people. And he was certainly like that in everything he did. You know, he was sort of quite brazen, and I think over the years he mellowed. I mean, the reputation he had when I met him was quite substantial, you know, at the university. Even though I never went to any of his lectures, he had a huge audience at the university, but he'd more than ruffled the feathers of a lot of his colleagues, and he fell out with people very easily. He had a huge ego, and like a lot of people who are creative genius, which he definitely was, that his personal relationships, five marriages says something of that.
He was clearly very good at it, kept going back to the well.
And around the world, through the permaculture networks, there are hundreds of incredibly creative people who worked very closely with Mollison over the years since we worked together. And most of them were in some ways burnt by that relationship with Bill. A lot of them probably ended up sort of hating him for various reasons. A lot of them, even though they were burnt, still, even before his now death, always held a soft spot for him. So he was a difficult character, you'd have to say.
I haven't got any love in me at all. And I hate community. Part of the other thing makes me furious. Two things, really. Spiritualism, community. People who talk about community want to manage other people, and people don't like being managed. And I grew up in a village, and people say that is a community. Well, it isn't. It's a lot of individuals following the rules. And I find most people who are spiritual are very greedy and very avaricious and waste a hell of a lot of time.
The voice of the late, great Bill Mollison, global educator and co-author of the permaculture movement's Bible, Permaculture One. Thanks so much for sharing your memories with us today, David. David Holmgren, Mollison's friend, colleague and co-originator of the permaculture movement. We've still got heaps of blueprint ahead, including a look into the process and emotions of restoring a garden after bushfire. Stay with us.